Lord, we bless you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16. It's a little bit of I really appreciate that class, but the class you took last year about living by the book. You never lose that information, never lose that thought process, never lose that function. If you ever lose what we learned there about the whole point of the Bible, how alive it is, if you make it alive, how it's not just about reading stories about other people, but you're finding yourself, that concept will always keep this alive to you. If not, there's going to be some dead paper that's going to get you in trouble. And so even when we study about church unusual in this class, we have to use the same concept. Also put ourselves in those positions to find out what he's really saying. The Father is never saying anything about institution or something else. He's always talking about you, right? We make institutions, we make organizations, we make things to try to keep things in order and in place. But at the end of the day, he's always talking about you. He's always talking about who you are. Everything leads to that. Everything leads to identity. So even when we talk about church, remember, I am church. Say it. We're not talking about an organization. We're not talking about a system somewhere. We're not talking about a setup. Although there are organizations, although there are systems, although there are setups to keep everybody in line, I can imagine, I understand why there's first through 12th grade. And I may not agree with everything on how everything is taught in every class and every grade and every curriculum, but I understand why there are levels, because a six-year-old will not comprehend like a 15-year-old. So I must have school. I got to have school and I got to have training. If not, we all out here just saying whatever we want to say at whatever age we want to say it. How that's going to work out? Six-year-old president. If you know any six-year-olds, seven-year-olds, you know, those decisions that they're going to make are not going to be quality ones for life. Are y'all understanding me? Maturity is the key. In this scripture, we read Matthew 16, is talking about maturity. Maturity, let me define what maturity is. Maturity has everything to do with your purpose, and your purpose has everything to do with your identity. So there is no maturity without you knowing who you really are. Maturity is not an age number. Maturity is not amount of years you done spend in the game. Maturity is not the amount of money you got in your pocket. Maturity is not how many scriptures you know. Maturity is an identity thing, knowing who you really are. If you don't know who you really are, you have not matured. This is the point of church. This is the point of what it really is, what we really are, maturing into what God originally intended to be. If all of these things go away, all the buildings and all the services and all these things and all the titles go away, it's still you there having to function like God. Are y'all understanding me? So we always bring it home. So now, for the sake of reading, we'll read it again too. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast, Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And you say, well, why we read this every week? We read the same scripture. I thought I got this. When you're in the Bible is not reading a fiction book. It's not like reading the storybook that you think you got the information already. You know, rarely do I watch movies over. You know what I'm saying? I watch them over way down the line. But for the most part, I don't really watch many movies. Unless something touched me or something a little deeper in there that I need to go back and watch, rarely do I watch them over because I done seen it already. Right? You can't treat this like this. Well, I done read this. We read this every class. Where you at? Come on, stand up. Stand up and show me where Jesus at right now. You can't prove he right there with you, and you can't prove that you understand and got it. Well, we need to go ahead and read this again. And every time we read it again, there's something new that's going to be shown. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said some of the lies. Some of John the Baptist, some of the lies, and other Jeremiah's. One of the prophets said, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Y'all see that? Flesh and blood has not revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Now this whole conversation and statement never made sense to me until I really got the revelation of he's talking about you too. Until I got the revelation of he's saying, and thou art rock. You know, Peter, name Peter means rock. So now he's saying, look at it real quick. He's saying, now we talked about it a little bit last week. But he said, and I say also unto thee that thou art rock. Peter means rock. Thou art rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. So he's saying, what is this rock? Well, you become the rock. You become just like the rock when you have a revelation of the Christ. Well, revelation of Christ, where? Where? In me. Within me as me. The revelation, this is the beginning of church. You can't have church without this revelation first. You understand me? So now, you are rock, and upon this rock, I will build my church. So the rock of identity is what the church is built on. All right? Anything else that's involved, and we've been for a long time involved in church in one aspect or another, even if it's not here, it's been somewhere. It's been a long time. A lot of us have been involved in church one way or the other. But rarely do we ever get to identity. We learn the do's and don'ts, don't we? We learn the sins and not sins, right? We learn the rules of the church. We learn the rules of the house. Different houses got different rules, right? We learn all those different things, but rarely do we get to identity, although everything is and should be, let me say should be, and is leading towards identity, right? Do's and don'ts on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, they on there. Do's and don'ts are on that other tree. How that worked out? Now you know how and how not. What about you? Who are you? Now you know what how not to walk in. Don't wear the shirt. Don't wear the skirt dead short. Don't wear. Now we know all this. What about you? What is it telling you about your identity? You get me? And so now, even though those things are needed, we've got to go all the way to what this rock is talking about. And it's talking about identity. If we don't take it all the way to identity, then we have missed the point. And we will be out here trying to live on rules and steps and morals that'll get you killed. Military. When you are, it's an operational base, the organization is. And there are things that you are here, you're a soldier when you sign up. But you may not be a soldier in your actions. Yeah, you're a soldier, but you are officially enlisted in the Army or the Marines or the Air Force, wherever you sign up. You are officially a soldier at that moment, but you don't have the soldier attitude yet. So now we got to take you to basic training. And now we got to go to boot camp. And there's a certain amount of time that you have to stay there before you go anywhere else. And all of these things are training you for what you signed up for in the name of Jesus. You thought you signed up for heaven. No, you signed up for war. You thought you signed up for a good time in an easy way. This is one of the biggest fallacies of Christianity. You thought you signed up so that everything in the name of Jesus is going to be all right for you. And you really signed up to get in the mud. Now, y'all ain't know that one, huh? The other just signed up to pray in tongues and it's about to get, we're going to have a nice little life. We're going to have families and stuff and then we're going to start ministries and we're going to reach the nations and smile. Y'all thought that's what it was about, huh? Oh, no, y'all, the way y'all laughing and giggling, y'all think that this was this thing. No, it's some hardship is involved. Some head busting is involved, right? Some challenging of your mind and your upbringing is involved when it comes down to being the church. And so now there's some training that's got to be had with you before you know who you are. Now, this doesn't change you. It didn't change that you came here as somebody already, right? Remember, you thought you found Jesus, you right? You thought you found him, he found you. Right? Yeah, I found the Lord. No, the Lord knew you already. Are you understanding me? So your identity has not changed. You have been the same thing since the beginning of time. But there has been training that needs to be made before I put you out on this field and you get yourself killed because you're thinking more highly than you ought to think. Are you understanding? And so now, we got a few military. Y'all understand me are way strong right now. And even sometimes there's a foot on your neck. Come here, boy. Huh? Call you out your name, right? To train you and to shake you up a little bit. Because I've got to break. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's supposed to happen. I love Apostle and I love how we do it here. And I love what's going on because it's up in your face. I've been stepped on more than you all. And broken and thrown down and told to sit down and shut up. Be quiet. You think you got, you ain't got, no, you need to pray a little bit more. People all over the floor now. You need to pray a little bit more. Because they're breaking down, because I cannot allow you to go out here thinking you something and you're not prepared. I cannot allow you to leave out of here on a bunch of other stuff that's fluff. Because you get yourself killed. And not only will you get yourself killed, but you get some other people killed. So the training is strenuous. And it's up in your face, ever-increasing word training center. And you got to do this. This year I've seen him turn up a little bit more than normal. This must be y'all. Y'all did this. Y'all second year students. What you doing? Where you at? Stand up. Come here. Look up. Let me talk to you. What's going on with y'all? Where you at? Why you walking in? Where you coming from? Right? It's like, right? Because sometimes showing up later be your death sentence. Come on. So now the training is there and everything is leading back. I've got to ask you these questions. I've got to question you. I can't just give you every revelation. Uh-oh. So I got to ask you who you say the son of, I am the son of man am. I got to check you. Have you been paying attention? Have you been seeing? I know you see everything, but do you really know what's going on? Obviously they didn't know it the first time. They say some say y'all, they start talking about what some say. Well, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I know. They start quoting scripture. That's how we do. That scripture right there, look up in verse 14. And they said, some say, anybody ask y'all what some say? You get what I'm saying? And some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah is one of the prophets. All right, cool. But who you say? Everybody get quiet then. Nobody wanted to answer that one. You know, one person answered and said, thou art the Christ. He only said that because he heard it from somebody, though. Clearly, he said, because a few scriptures over, he trying to tell Jesus what to do. Are y'all understanding? But it comes training. Now, if you pay attention, if y'all listen to me and you pay attention to this passage, it's not very, very long at all. Just from verse 13, and if you go further up, you even see some more things and why what struck him off into this conversation, because they fussing about some bread, about who bought the bread for the trip. Who bought the lunch basket and the bread for the trip? And he like, y'all didn't know I just fed all them people with two loaves and five fish, right? Whatever it went. You didn't even know that I just fed all these people. Give me some crumbs. We'll make it happen. Y'all up here talk. Y'all, obviously, y'all can't know who I am. So now it sparks it, right? I'm going to say something, you have to catch what I'm saying. Sometimes you have to embrace your immaturity. Right? You have to embrace it and own it. Right? Because if you don't own up to your, the first rule they make you admit some things. You got to admit it. You got to admit that you don't know. You got to admit that there's somewhere else that I need to learn. The moment that you think you don't need to learn nothing is the day that you're destined to get murdered. You're destined for this thing to take you out. And it's not necessarily mean in the grave. Sometimes it'll take you out where you never produce anything. But you'll be going through the motions. So I've got to check you now, because you've been walking with me and you don't even know. How long have we been in church? Come here, how many years you been in church? You've been forever. I know some of y'all been forever. How long have you been in church? Come on. Come on, sir. I see I'll be like 15 years, 16 years. I'll start throwing the numbers out. 30 years. Come on. How long you been there? How long? Come on. All your life, do you know who you've been walking with? I ain't talking about your preacher. Do you know what this has been leading up to the whole time? It's been leading up to this question right here. All these times have been leading up to, who do you say that I am? And we get caught up on such and such knowing Jesus. And that reverend and that preacher know Jesus. And so we're caught up on that and you don't know him for yourself. This church. And said, if thou art Peter upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that he should not tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go in Jerusalem. Now I can talk to you about the secrets now. You see verse 21? From that time forth, Jesus began to show the disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and the scribes, church people, temple people at that time, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Verse 22, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. This is us. This is us. Be it far from me, Lord. I don't want to go through nothing. In the name of Jesus, let this pain go away. In the name of Jesus, clear my path right now. Sometimes I'm trying to teach you how to make a new path. Sometimes the path got to be muddy and dirty so you can show your traction. The scripture says in Romans, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, you say, what is that? What does that got to do with this? The system has given us an idea of utopia. Oh, yeah. The system has given an idea. Well, you know, if you go to school, then your life career going to be fine. Well, you know, if you do this deal, then this will work out for you. Well, you know, if you take this pill, you'll definitely be able to do this and this and this. And everything seems to be a get it done quick, easy, never have to search and never have to dig for who you really are. But then we come to our senses and realize that it's much more difficult than that. So we're here now. We don't want you to die, Jesus. We don't want to go through that. We don't want to go through that pain. We don't want to go through all that drama. We don't want to go through that. Be it far from us. He's talking selfish right now. He don't even know. He's limited himself and topping himself off. Verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense. He just told him, you blessed and all that. And you got the keys and all that. And look at you. Look what you did. You got the revelation. He said, you are offense unto me. When did he become an offense? Read that next part from 4. Ready, read. Come on, verse 23 from the word for, F-O-R. Read it. Ready, read. B, when I see the word B, I think identity. I think identity, being, doing, having, I see identity. So now thou savor the things, you don't savor the things, the identity that come from God, but those identities that come from men. You remember, I don't have time to go there, and maybe we can find ourselves in school and find ourselves as reverends or whatever we want to call ourselves, right? They kept on asking Jesus these questions, and they were missing the point. They said, who the best of us? Y'all familiar with that? Which one of us is the greatest of us? And he ain't picked none of them. He picked a little kid from on the side. One of them, James, John, they mama asked, can my son sit on the right hand? They don't know what they're asking about now. You know what sitting on the right hand means? Jesus on the right hand interceding now. Y'all going to sleep. You can't intercede. Y'all go to sleep soon as I take you over there. The point, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. The point is rawly missed. The point of being church versus going to the steps of the church, you miss the point. It's all leading back to identity. It's all leading back to who you are. You know you are who you are without a title? No, I don't think y'all know that, huh? Question. Say your name. Say your first name. Say your last name. Did you know that you're who you are without that? No, you don't. No, you don't. You think you do, but you don't. You have no idea. You never live without it. You never had to function under something without it. You are who you are without that. The intention of the Father is still the same for you, whether somebody acknowledges it or not. This is church. This is going back to the identity. This is what he means. When you realize the Christ in you, you realize the rock that you are, and things can be built on you. If not, you're going to pick one. It's going to be one or the other. You cannot say, you can't halfway die. Right? Like Jesus couldn't get near death. and then be like, all right, we got close enough. No, you got to go all the way. And it's one way or the other. And if you don't choose the one way, you're going to live the other. You're going to savor, or you're going to want, or you're going to make more important the things that men say than what Christ says. You're going to do it. So it's a challenge now. And he called him Satan. Whew. Yeah, you done left the church. Oh yeah, you done left the ministry. Your leader come around and call you Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You just like Satan. I'm gonna find me a new church. He don't love me. I'll find me a new place. No, I'm calling out that thing in you that's keeping you from being like me. See, the thing of men, the thing that savors of men, will always be the way Satan uses you. You ain't got to be a mean person. You can be a nice person. Self-will and men's will and all that stuff is the thing that the devil used to will you however he want to. I've seen some of the nicest people do some of the raggediest things. And you still can't take nothing from them. They're really nice people, good people. God want to use them. But that got in them and made them like the enemy. Because they were savoring, wanting what man wants more than what the Father wants. And so our identity, our understanding has to change. If any man will come after me, let him deny who? Verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny who? Now this is church now, because he started talking about church. Jesus only said church a couple times. So I got to take this important. I got to take this whole conversation important, because he only says it a couple times, the word church. So I got to take this. I got to take this whole conversation as he's telling me what church look like. And Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man is in italics, so that means you can pull it out. So if anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 25. You read it. Go read it. Read it. Read it. Verse 25. Y'all read it. Read it. Go ahead. Read it. Read it. Read it. I learned some apostles the other day, and I'm about to start doing it again. When you read the word out loud, sometimes it'll hit home better for you, because nobody hear, you don't hear nobody's voice better than your own. You knew that? I don't care who you reverence. There's nobody's voice that you hear better. How often do you hear your own voice besides talking noise to somebody else? Right? When that's how you talk some scripture to yourself. Made some confession to yourself, right? Hey, read it. Read it. Ready, read.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it.
Oh, what that mean? So we skim over these parts. We skim over these parts. Got another one in Mark 10. We just be skimming over them. We like, yeah, what that mean? Read the first line. Go ahead. Come on, class. We go about that. Yeah, I'm going to sit there. Read it. This church now, we're talking about church now. This is how church go. This is what church is. This is who church is right here. Explanation, you ready? Read it. Whoever save his life is going to lose it. What color them words is? Who that's talking? And what is he saying right here in this first line? Let's not even go to the next one yet. Can we skim over them quick? You know, when we read and we doing our and like, go to the next part. No. What does that line mean? I need you to say it. Don't try to preserve yourself. Come on, keep going. What? Open up your mouth and tell me what it means. Come on, what it mean to you? Your own agenda. Come on. Let me say something to you right quick. Because everybody gonna say something. But right now we're gonna do living by the book. Okay, a little bit. Right now, everybody got an idea of what Jesus looked like, and all of them are different. Right now, close your eyes and say, imagine what Jesus looked like. Now you start thinking about, well, the black power in the name of Jesus. He wasn't. They tried to make him look like a white man. He's not the white man. And then you start saying all the different things in your head now, right? So you got different ones flashing in your head. But right now, everybody got a different look of Jesus. Right now, if I tell you to close your eyes and tell me what you think Abraham looked at. 1, 2, 3, close your eyes, go. What Abraham looked like, go. And everybody have a different description. A beard probably be involved, but everybody have a different description. Right? Which means you see it. You see it in your own way. You got a way to say it that it means something to you a different way. Are you understanding me? So, read the first line. For whosoever, who is that? That's pretty much everybody, right? All right, so finish reading it. Read again. Ready, read. Whosoever saved his life shall, strong word, lose it. That means they are going to lose it. That means it is inevitable that if you try to save it, you, what does that mean to you? Go. What does save your life mean? What that mean to you in your particular time of life right now? What's saving your life mean? Well, what you think your life is, number one. Oh, it get thick. Like I can't, we need to have a resurrection class, a death and resurrection class. It just be all about murdering yourself. What does it mean, save your life? What does that mean? I'm listening.
Basically, in my opinion, it means what everybody else, what I perceive everybody else thinks of me. Preserving that. So they don't think that I don't lose it.
Uh-huh.
So you try to preserve it.
Uh-huh.
Rather than dying to and becoming Christ.
Mm-hmm. Good. Come on. He ain't speaking for all y'all. He said, in my opinion, it's me. You, Kenneth, right? Yeah, ain't none of y'all name. Come on.
The thing that the system seems to be saying the success. The things that the system elevate above what the kingdom of God and the things of God.
What's the kingdom of God? What's the things of God?
Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace.
No, what's the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? What the, huh?
Is it me?
Yep, all that. And all you right. Righteous peace, joy, all that's right, but that's in you. So I'm bringing back the identity. Are y'all understanding? I want to take the time to pause and make sure that even though we know those things, because we've been studying a long time, but all those things are describing you, who you are already, not something you got to go get. Even if you didn't walk in peace, and long, you see what I'm saying? It's still in there. You just the system that cluttered it. It's powerful, man. Come on, what does it mean? Preserve your life. Come on, y'all. Trying to hold on to what you thought was important. Come on. Second to last row. Come on. Maybe get specific now. See, I'm trying not to. Somebody. 1, 2, 3. Somebody.
Worrying about your own self.
That's real simple. Huh? Huh? How that been working out for you already? Like, you've been maintaining. It's been cool. It's been okay, but then I've been going to work trying to make more. I've been over here trying to do this and get more identity. So look at it again, read it. I read a scripture the other day, Jesus started talking, he said, whoever exalted himself is going to be abased. And I realized the word abased meant the same word as humility. That's going to happen to you if you exalt yourself. And he starts saying absolute things. Like, excuse me, this is going to happen. Excuse me. You try to save your own life, right? Which in turn is, are you trying to name your own life? Are you trying to identify your own life for yourself? You're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. Look, I ain't said it. Who said that? Who said it? Do we love him or not? Is he the one or not? Okay. Here's the next line. Read it from the beginning, so we go together. Ready, read from the beginning. Ready, read.
For whosoever
will save his life shall save it. And whosoever will lose his life will not save it. So you'll lose your life. Not lose. Lose is he's talking about losing as if it's something that you know, usually losing is something that's happened to you. Right? You be losing your keys, but you don't be trying to lose your keys, right? Or you lose sight of something, but you don't be trying to lose sight of something, right? Usually you see that as something happen, but it's really something that you're doing, right? If you lose your life for my sake, what it say? Read. I want to read exactly like you say. What did it say? Lose who life? Oh, your idea of life. Oh, so if you will lose your idea of life, you'll find out what real life is. Oh, so it's a possibility that I don't know real life. It's a possibility that I just signed up for a bunch. I really don't know real life, though. It's a tough one. It's a tough one to take sometimes. It's because sometimes we got it down. Read what that second line say again? He would lose his life. Say it again. For who? Now we got to get specific. Now you lose it. Like, you ain't losing it just to lose it. What you losing it for? Oh, you're losing it for him. So you're trading with your idea for his idea. Let this mind flip into fire. Let this mind be in you, was also in Christ Jesus. You're trading your ideas for his ideas. Because really, there's no difference. The only difference is what you said. The system. The system has, faith comes by what? How much stuff you done heard since you've been a little kid? Come on. Faith comes by what? And what? How much stuff have you heard and heard? I heard it over and over again. I heard it over and over again. And I heard it over again. Now we over here trying to do this, trying to do this, trying to do this. And I heard it over and over again. And I heard it. 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 How much faith you got for other stuff other than Christ? And it's not that other stuff is of the devil, but it'll become the devil if it don't come through Christ. Matthew 6, he starts talking. He says, take no thought what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and how you're going to be clothed and all that stuff, right? So he said, because your father knows you got need of all these things. But then he says, but seek ye first. He starts talking about how he's going to take care of the birds and they don't even do nothing. They don't even do like you do, but I'm going to take care of them. And he said, but seek ye first to what? Who is he talking about? Seek the truth in you. The true part of you. The truth in you. It's in there, everybody. Seek that. Right? And his righteousness, meaning right standing with the Father. Because you are in right standing with the Father, you just don't know it all the time. Oh me, oh my, oh God, don't strike me. We learned that from somewhere else. And I know God was cracking the ground open and busting people in the head in the Old Testament. I understand. Now, yeah, now we had a fatherhood thing. If you ask a father for a fish, will he give you a serpent? Are you asking for a piece of bread? This scripture, this Jesus. You asking for a piece of bread, will he give you a rock? The Father, he says, the Father knows you have need of all these things. He knows what's going on with you. But seek you first. Seek the identity that I made in you from the beginning first. And then all these things will be added. It ain't about having life or not life. It's about your definition of what life is and where you got it from. Where did you get this from? Where did you get this definition? We got so many places that taught us so many things since we've been younger, haven't we? Right, so we thought was right, and wrong. And so now we built ourselves up on this identity, and we don't see it. He who save his life is gonna lose it. We won't preach that one too much. Anybody ever message on Matthew 16:25 too much? Like we're going to preach a series on this one. We're going to talk about losing what you think life is. We skimmed that one. Come on, y'all. Amen, don't we? Because that one is kind of, what that mean? I got a lot of life going on right now. I got a lot of things that I consider to be life. What does that mean? It's a good question. For what profit a man, read the next scripture. That is good. I'm glad you slowed down. I'm glad you slowed down just now, because I always say lose his soul. He said lose his what?
Own soul.
Oh, trying to get to what you lose, you're going to lose your own thoughts, right? You're going to lose the truth mindset that I put in you. You're going to lose your own. It's already yours. You already own it. But you're going to lose it because you're out here trying to gain what the world wants. Now, when I say the world, hold up. Y'all thought I was talking about the streets and the heathens and the sinners and the street people? They got more world in the church, organized church, than anywhere. Or can I define world for you? Can I define world for you? When you see the word world, right, it's talking about a system. Remember I talking about serpent system? Same thing. When you see the word world, you're talking about a system. That's why they call Satan the god of this. But the earth is the... Come on, put it together. He the god of this World, but the earth, who the earth? Who the earth? Who the, I'm asking a question. Who is the earth? No, who is the earth? Huh? Who the earth? Come on, I got to do it. I know I'm talking a little different than normal, but you the earth. What you made out of? Huh? No. You got, they put some plastic and some polyurethane and some nylon. Nope, none of that, huh? No, what you made out of? Earth. You the earth. The earth is the Lord. You belong to the Lord. And the earth is the Lord in the. Hey, I mean, I know you said the world needed to dwell in it, so he's really trying to. Trump, he let him guard this world, but at the end of the day, you know what's really popping. Are y'all understanding me?
Yes, sir.
But now you gain the whole system and lose your mind. Now, don't this system make you lose your mind? One day they told you that, the next day they told you that. Now, I got to go back to what I'm saying, organized church, all right? The men's policies. That's a system. That system to keep him from knowing Jesus more than anything. Because you thought it was about Jesus. Huh? You thought that was for Jesus. But if I'll never find myself in Jesus in the identity, and you'll never tell me you too, then we got a problem. If you never enable me, right, as an heir and a joint heir with Christ, and you keep teaching me rules and steps, but you don't teach me identity, then we've got a problem. And now, thou savest that not which is of God, but be of men. So what profit a man to move up in ranks? Come on, first reverend. Come on, first ranking. I'm trying to use military as a first ranking reverend. Come on, elder. Come on, elder, bishop. Come on, pastor. Come on, go to line. What profit a man to get that title? I know a bunch of them calling themselves all this stuff in the church. They calling themselves all apostles and prophets and are calling themselves every little thing and just because they just want to call. They just felt that they saw something one day, so I must be a prophet. You going up the rank. You trying to go up the ladder. One day I'm going to be a real good Christian. One day I'm going to be a real good Christian. And you gain all that. And lose the mind of Christ. And it's already yours because it's your own. You see? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is the best church message you're going to find. This is the best church structure message you're going to find right here. For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here that shall not taste death, taste of death, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And you thought it was the sky cracking. That sound, that what that sound like on the last scripture? That sound like the second coming, huh? Huh? It's like the sky about to crack, and they got people died since then. Since he said verse 28, and whatever year BC this was, to now they got plenty that didn't die. So he wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking about the second coming of him. He talking about realizing the Son in you, realizing the kingdom in you. Realizing it's not something that you're a part of, it's something that you are. Y'all seen? Yes. Ephesians 4. We'll start here for a minute and we'll, because I could camp there for a minute. There's English. According to the ancient languages and languages of the world, English is the most primitive one. It's probably one of the youngest languages, probably the youngest language. Most of our words that we've gotten has been derived from some other language, from Latin or Greek or whatever. We are an off-brand language. I'm sorry to tell you. our language is the bottom of the totem pole. Yeah, we was the last thought of language. Now we popular because of America and because of Great Britain, right? But our language is the one that carries the less meaning in its words. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. It doesn't mean that there aren't meaning in the words. The meaning comes from you. But when they have these words, we take these words and we've messed up so many words that we don't even know what we're talking about sometimes. Like ministry. Everybody say ministry. Ministry. What's ministry? Well, yeah, we learned that in school, huh? We learned that we got a Greek concordance. What was ministry before? We just, well, if I get a good building, I have a good ministry. And get some people that's a part of my ministry. So these words, I therefore, a prisoner of the law, beseech you, right? Now he's talking to a body of believers in Ephesus, all right? They joined together. This is a letter. And to be clear about this, is a letter that he wrote, all right? He's talking to him, he said, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. All right, calling is different now, because when we hear calling, we think the only people who get callings are the reverends. Can we tell the truth? Yeah, you called. Well, I ain't called. I ain't called to preach. Are you talking? they ain't called me to. Are you talking? Can you explain anything to anybody? Have you ever had a discussion where you proved the point? Ding, ding, you're a preacher. You may not have a tie on, you may not have a little lapel, and you're on the stage, maybe nobody might not have introduced you, but ding, ding. Oh, everybody call. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He describes how to do it with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond in peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are. What's that word? You are what? And one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. That's the best witness in scripture I've heard. One of the best, because he's Father of who? Verse 6, he's the Father of who? Everybody? He everybody Father? No. Come on, y'all got to get with me right quick. So he's everybody's Father? Everybody. Even the murderers and even the heathens or the sinners. He they father too? Oh, well, let's go to the next part then. Who's above all? He's above all of them too? Huh? Hmm. And through all. Uh-oh. He threw them too? Oh, that's hard to see, huh? How he threw them. And in, uh-oh. He and everybody? Well, how could somebody be that way? How could, let me not say somebody, how you could be like that sometimes? The systems, the world. Verse 7, but in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of who? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he descended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto who? It's the same gift he's talking about Christ. He gave Christ unto men. All right? He gave Christ. Christ is a character. Okay? If you just relegate Christ to Jesus that walked 2,000 years ago, then we definitely got to wait till the sky cracking. Right? But if you realize that Christ is an understanding, it's a personality, it's an identity that we all carry. And that we all have, we've all been given the gift of Christ. That's the nature of God. That's the oneship with God. He gave gifts unto men. Now he descended, but he is also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth, but he that ascended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, read. Some. Okay. Verse 11, read again, ready, read. Let's read together at the beginning. Ready, read. Verse 12, read, for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints. Now, remember now, before we talk about maturity has everything to do with identity. So you're not mature until you know who you are. Can we agree? You're not mature or matured until you have a grip on who you really are. There's no maturity in not knowing your identity. So now we got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to make us know who we are. That's the first one in that scripture. And I'm not even going to try to get deep into it. I ain't going to be able to get all the way into it. But the first one is maturing, is growing up, is knowing what your purpose is knowing who you are as purpose. That's the first step. So now these processes that we go through in a correct situation, because every situation ain't correct. Every organization ain't correct. Every government ain't the government. Are you hearing me? There's other governments that have armies. There's other governments that's got training. They got training camps. And they train them to kill everybody. Don't go in there and save nobody. Kill them all. They're getting trained, though. There's a government. They got a leader. So those things can't define. Those things can't define life. Y'all see my comparison? Those things cannot define life. They got a building. But what are they saying about identity? Now, I can't know who I am if I'm told to kill another man, because then I don't know me, because I don't know that they me and I'm them. Thou shalt not murder. Remember that? That was trying to lead us to the identity. They were still killing people. They were still killing each other when they got mad. But it was trying to lead you, because if you kill you, you kill me. Because we all connected. For the perfecting of the saints. There's three parts in there, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. What's the next part? For the what? For the work of the ministry. Remember now in Matthew 16, he said he gonna give every man according to their works. Matthew 16, come on, let me flip back over there right quick so I can make sure I said it just like that. He said, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. That's verse 27. He reward every man according to his works. He reward every man according to his work of the ministry. He reward every man according to, did you pass it out or not? Matter of fact, even if you think you're smart, why you ain't telling nobody? Why wouldn't you preach? That sounds pretty selfish. Why wouldn't you proclaim truth that you know? Three parts in verse 12, and we'll pick up on it next week. For the perfecting of the saints, maturing, for the work of the ministry, the work of passing it out, and for the building of the body. Right? I can't. I will get into it more next week. Amen.